Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And welcome to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm so glad to have you listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective. And welcome back to my co-host, Ron Brooks. Welcome back to the KMC, buddy. It's good to have you back on with me.
Hey, Tom. It's good to be back. It's been a while, but glad to be back with you.
Yeah, man. It has been a little while, but we're going to be rocking and rolling with some great episodes coming up. And in this episode, we want to address some things as ministry leaders that we really need to be thinking through during this season. Everybody knows we're kind of in those uncharted waters, and we're trying to figure out what are some of the best practices for reopening the buildings, so to speak. I'm not going to say reopening the church. The church is never closed. But I do believe that this is where the Kid Ministry Collective is going to be pivotal. We're going to need every member of the community to come together and start asking some of the right questions to make sure that we're serving those that we're called to reach and those that are outside the walls that are just starting to tune in to our live streams and things may start thinking about coming back to a service after watching, but it's going to take a while. And so we're going to need to start thinking right from the front door all the way in. And so our guest today on this episode is somebody who the Kidmin community may not be super familiar with, but they ought to be. Greg Atkinson, he's an author and speaker and consultant. He's done a lot of speaking around the country and is the founder of the First Impressions Conference. And we're super excited to have him on the KMC because this is an opportunity for us to start thinking of somebody and having somebody on, a thought leader on, that's outside the Kid Ministry Collective that can give us some good wisdom and advice. So Greg, thanks for joining us on this episode of the KMC.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Honored to be here. It is something I'm very passionate about. You know, I'm known for First Impressions and guest services, but anytime a parent comes and checks in their kid to church, that is a first impression. And so at all three of our previous First Impressions conferences, we had children's ministry keynotes and breakouts, and had Frank and Jessica Beeler and Dale Hudson and Darcy Wood and all kinds of people speak about Travis Ray, different people speak about kids ministry, because it is such a huge impression that you make on your guests and your parents when they come and they entrust you with their kids. That's a huge responsibility. And so in my mind, it has always fallen under First Impressions, because if a parent has a bad experience with their children's ministry and their kids' experience, they're not going to come back to church no matter how good the sermon was.
It's very, very true. It's the worst place to lose a family. So we definitely want to make sure that we're improving those kind of things. And so usually in our podcast, we try to ask a why question, but I've got a little different one that I want to ask. I want to know, what should be some of those first questions that leaders should be asking themselves if we're thinking about, because states are starting to lift quarantines, and every state's different right now. We're seeing it all over the place. But what are some of the questions that if we're going to think about opening the building back up, what should we be asking?
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video yesterday from Larry Osborne, pastor of North Coast Church in San Diego. He's the author of Sticky Church and Sticky Teens, and just a very wise, wise leader. He was the pioneer of the multi-site church movement, and he was asking questions and things to think about before you reopen. And this was one of them. You know, this was children's ministry. It was one of the big three that he touched on when he was addressing should you reopen or not. He touched on children's ministry. Mm. That is because, as I have said on numerous podcasts and in my book, Secrets of a Secret Shopper, I have a chapter on children's ministry. And I've always said it has to be clean, safe, and secure. And right now in this COVID coronavirus season, can we keep that promise? Can we keep that guarantee that our parents know that when they drop their kids off, it's going to be clean, safe, and secure? And right now, it's just not realistic. It's not a reality. There's no way that you can keep first graders from hugging each other and keeping them social distance at 6 feet apart and not rubbing snot on each other and not touching each other. It's just not going to happen. And so Larry Osborne talked about, some churches are a long way from opening. I lead a Facebook group and I'm reading through some of the comments, and some people are talking about June, some are talking about July. I just saw somebody post about September. I'm consulting with the church in Minneapolis, and we have a tentative date for me to come out the second weekend in October, but it's tentative because they don't know if they'll be meeting, and I don't know if I'll be feeling safe to travel. And so I was on a client call yesterday with a church in Missouri that wanted me to come out as soon as possible. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready to travel yet. I don't know if it's safe, and I don't think you'll be up to max speed, because a lot of churches, when they open, are going to open at like a 25% capacity based on their state and local government guidelines and CDC guidelines. And so if you bring in a consultant like me, you want me to see a regular, typical weekend, not a 25% capacity. So it might waste their time to bring me in right now. And so I said, let's just hold off a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to kids ministry, the kind of stuff we have to be asking is, can we keep their kids safe? Can we keep them from spreading germs and disease and sickness? And then when it comes to, you know, if you say, well, the easy answer is we're just going to do a family service, which I've heard from a ton of churches. We're not going to have small groups. We're not going to have Sunday school. We're not going to have children's ministry. We're going to keep everybody in the auditorium. Well, you know, how does that work? You know, because I'm a big believer in a graded kids ministry. I'm a believer in curriculum that's geared towards their mind and their age appropriate material that's geared towards kids. So when you go to a family service and you have antsy kids that are drawing and coloring and jumping around in the pew or the seat, and they're not paying attention, and how is that going to work out? And then people are talking about, well, then we'll start at a drive-in service. And so you got kids trapped in a car and they can't get out.
Sounds like fun for an hour.
Yeah. They can't go to the bathroom because the church isn't unlocked. And dude, just asking for a lot of stuff. So the thing that I've been encouraging people to do is just be patient. Just be patient. Right now, we're in this unprecedented time of digital ministry first kind of mindset. And the online church just seems to be exploding. A lot of churches I've heard have reached five times more people than their current Sunday attendance was. They're reaching five times that online. And so if that's working, let's just be patient and wait for some guidelines to get in place and let it play out in a safe way. But that's the thing I would be asking. Can we guarantee our parents that we can keep their kids safe? Because I have said for years, I mean, you could go back 5 years ago on a Rich Burton Seminary podcast episode where I said children's ministry has to be clean, safe, and secure. Yep. And so that's still true today.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I've been talking to some of the leaders about, and some that I do coach myself, and one of the things we've talked about is, you know, as states roll out in tiers, the church is probably going to have to think about that as well. And there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, maybe what we need to do is have our small group, adult small groups, just have them come together as families at somebody's home and watch it together, worship together there, start there, and then eventually come back into the church. But I love what you said about being patient, because I think some of us are we're chomping at the bit and we miss our kids. We love being with our volunteer teams. But again, if we can't keep it clean and safe and secure, we're putting people at risk. We're putting the community's perception of us at risk, because I think there's going to be some in the community that are going to go, whoa, what are these people doing? Why are they rushing back into a building? And, you know, they're going to be spreading more, and because there's a lot of fearful people out there. So, yeah, I like how you said that. I think thinking through and thinking in stages, thinking of other options of ways that families could gather in smaller groups and then come back as a bigger group might be an option for people. And again, I do agree with you too, that with families that come together for a worship service, you got a lot of senior pastors that just, they're not comfortable talking with kids. And while we as kids pastors can try to help and encourage them, or maybe do something special for the kids to acknowledge them and that's going to be a whole nother podcast that we'll talk about. But
that's a good thought. Like if you're not ready for your kid's pastor to be the preacher every week and to let him lead the service, you're not ready. Because most lead pastors cannot keep the attention of an elementary age, middle school age kid. And so unless you're going to turn the service over to your children's minister, which that'd be great if you did, but unless you do and have the creativity of a student pastor or a next gen pastor or a kids men pastor, unless you're going to turn it over to them and say, okay, you guys lead Sunday morning, you're probably not ready. And so I did a blog post. If you go to my name, gregatkinson.com, about 10 questions churches should ask their congregation before they reopen. And it basically was the concept about bringing back the old congregational survey. And so that means, and in that blog post, I linked to a ton of resources, a ton of articles that help you think through reopening and checklists and things like that. But I talk about, you know, if you're a church of 500 and only 50 show up, is it worth it? Do you want to reopen? If it takes 50 volunteers to pull off a Sunday and only 10 show up, can you pull it off? Mm-hmm. Can you run a full-fledged Sunday morning ministry if a fourth of your volunteers don't even show up? If you have kids, how are you going to keep them safe? Are you going to do kids ministry? All these questions to think through and to answer. Mm-hmm. And then I give you suggestions to put them, and I don't have anything proprietary. I'm not selling anything. I just say, here's some questions to think through. And then you can use a free service like SurveyMonkey or JotForm or Typeform or Google Forms and create a survey and let your people vote and tell you, yes, we're ready to come back or no, we're not. You know, one thing that's interesting, and I know you guys can probably relate to this, being an admin of a Facebook group, the thing about digital ministry is it's global. There's no barriers. There's no limits. There's no restrictions by area code or geographic restrictions. And so when you have an online campus, people can tune in from New Zealand and watch your church online. Yeah. Well, the same is true with Facebook groups. I have a weekend worship and guest services Facebook group. You guys have a kids ministry Facebook group. You can have people from numerous countries that are a part of these communities, and it's a beautiful thing. And one of the comments that I keep getting from a lot of people in my community that are outside of the United States of America is, what is up with this mindset? Because there is, like you said, there's so many people, if it's our right, it's our constitutional right. We have got to get back together and gather. And I've got friends in Canada saying, what is up with that? Just stay home and be safe. Why are you putting people at risk? And people in the UK and Australia, I just had a conversation with Steve Fogg the other night, who's in Melbourne, Australia. And it's an American mindset of, that's our right. We have to get back to the building. And we all know the church was never the building. Mm-hmm. We can meet beyond the four walls of the church. I've seen some creative things that churches are doing where they do a little kids service online first before the big church service starts with the music and the preaching. They do a kids episode beforehand, and a lot of kids curriculum, and Life Church has put out some really cool stuff. An open church, a lot of stuff that you can do with your kids online. But this mindset of it's all right and we have the right to gather is uniquely American, because I don't see that with the other countries that interact in my Facebook group. I have a large Facebook group and people are commenting from New Zealand. And I mean this sincerely. There's a woman, Sarah, commenting from New Zealand saying, I just don't understand this. I don't understand this thinking. I don't understand this rationale, because we are stewards, and we do not want to be the ones responsible for an outbreak in a community. We don't want to be the ones responsible for spreading this. And that's bad PR. You know, they always say there's no such thing as bad PR. I would disagree. Bad PR is bad PR. Yes. And so if your church makes the news because you're the ground zero epicenter for an outbreak of coronavirus, that would be a scary thing. That would be a sad thing. It would be a tragic thing. And there may be no coming back from that. And so I just go back to be patient until you can do it well. Understand, nobody is attacking your constitutional right. Nobody is saying you can't preach the gospel. As I said earlier, now 5 times more people than the average congregation are getting reached online. And so God is using this season. God is using technology. Amen. This is not the enemy saying you can't preach the gospel. God is saying I'll reach five times more people than your church ever could reach via the internet. And so people are being reached. People are coming to Christ. People are hearing good news, the gospel. They're hearing the message in creative, innovative ways. I've seen churches get so creative and doing things in an innovative way with intimate settings. Environments. I watched Victory Church in Atlanta Wednesday night, and they had just couches up on a stage, and they were just sitting around chatting on couches. And just I saw Brian Houston at Hillsong in his living room. Mm-hmm. I saw Jensen Franklin in his living room with his grandkids, and he picked his grandkids up on his lap, and they sang "Jesus Loves Me." When do you get to see that?
Yeah.
When you go to a mega church like Jensen Franklin's church, when you get to see him sit down with his grandkids on his lap and sing "Jesus Loves Me," these are some really cool times where God is just breaking down all the production, all the smoke and mirrors, and just getting to an intimate, relational, authentic experience of let's just come together and commune and worship and be a community. Even though it's digital, let's be community.
It's like you said, it's allowing us to see a different side of these pastors on the stage. Orange Conference was last week, and I heard Mark Batterson. He kind of laughed because with everything going on, he took time to read a bedtime story to the kids in the church via a Facebook stream or something. And he kind of laughed. And he said, "I would have never done this before, you know, in the past, but here we are because of everything going on." Mark Batterson, of all people, reading a bedtime story to kids.
Yes.
But yeah. So with your background in first impressions, as we start seeing the church open back up, talk to us a little bit about what you think first impressions will look like, it specifically relating to kids ministry. Is it going to look different than it did in the past? Is it going to be completely new? I know we had talked before about, you were talking about digital versus pen and paper. You know, go ahead and talk to us about that and anything else that you can think of.
Yeah. So the way I see, and I did a talk this past week, there was a ChurchCom Summit streaming online, and I did first impressions in this new season, in the new normal. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier that I've said for years is children's ministry has to be clean, safe, and secure. So anybody that works in kids ministry is familiar with Lysol and Lysol wipes and sanitizing and disinfectant. We've done that. We've cleaned up poopy diapers and vomit and junk. And so we're used to, before we leave on a Sunday afternoon, wiping down the classroom and getting it back to nice and neat and clean. This is going to have to be up. Everything, you'd have to take it up a level. And what's unique about this time around is it has to be done in between services. And so some churches are talking about spacing out their service times wider than they used to be. So if you're used to a 9:30 and 11 a.m. service, you might have to do 9 and 11 or 9:30 and 11:30 because the cleanup time, this is campus-wide. In the auditorium, the pews, the seats, the chairs, in the kids' classrooms, there has to be a complete wipe down. I was just reading through the CDC guidelines, and everything has to be sanitized. So it can't be go through the entire morning and all your services and then clean before you go home. It has to be do a service, stop, clean everything, let it remain wet, let it dry naturally. That's how it's properly done. And then do another service, clean everything, let it remain wet, let it dry, do another service. And so you're going to have to add an extra 30-minute bumper at least. And so a lot of churches are talking about spacing out their services by 2 hours. So you have a 9 and 11 or a 9:30 and 11:30. This also affects check-in. We were talking before we started recording about how a typical church checks in guests and checks in kids. So many churches around the country, either they don't have a CHMS, a database, and so they're using a pen and a clipboard, or they have that, but they use a pen and a clipboard for guests, for first-time guests. And you can't do that anymore. We're going into a new time where there's no looking back. Everything needs to be digital. Everything needs to be digital. And so if I come as a first time guest and I check in my kids and you hand me a pen that somebody else has used that's got germs on it because it's the virus stays on the surface, and I fill out this pad and then I pass it to the next parent and I've given them my germs, it's just a nasty thing. So what would be better is to say, go to this link on your phone, go to gracekids.org and fill out our pre-registration. And everything's digital and they do it on their phone right there in the lobby. I've seen some churches where they have iPads set up and then they sanitize and wipe down the iPad in between people, but there's no more sharing pins, no more. They're saying when you open back up, every guideline I have read says no handouts, no bulletins, no printouts. And so you can't give anybody anything tangible. Those days are gone for a long while. They're saying no bulletins, no printouts, no handouts. And so we ought to use this time. Those of us in the church communication worlds have been saying for years, get rid of the bulletin, get rid of the bulletin.
Yeah.
let's use this time to just go full steam ahead and go digital, go all out digital. But I have for the last 2 years, every time I've done a podcast or a webinar or recording or the children's panel of the First Impressions Conference, I have talked about the concept of we need to have pre-registration for kids. Mm-hmm. And I have urged church database companies, CHMSs, to do that. I've talked with, I've worked behind the scenes with church database companies to help them develop this. I just finished a project 2 months ago working on one for a brand new church database that is just now. I just, before I got on this podcast, read a post from the CEO announcing of their launching. And so they're just now starting to go public. They're called Communitas, but we worked on a project called Preface, which is a preface before you come to church, things that you fill out. And one of that things was pre-registration. So what this does is when you have pre-registration live on the homepage of your website, you come to your church homepage and you click on an I'm new button or a plan your visit button and it says have kids, pre-register them now. I pre-register them. I show up and say, I'm Greg Atkinson, Atkinson family. And they look up, oh, got you right here. Print out our stickers. We're ready to rock and roll. We know birthdays. We know allergies. We know everything we need to know.
Right.
And there's no bottleneck. There's no waiting in a long line of parents that are having to fill it out on the spot. They're in the system. They're in the database and they're ready to rock. So let's go all out digital.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of minivans that are going to lose the floor liner from the take home pages that we can't give out anymore. But it ended up on the floor and there's a lot of clean carpets and a lot of minivans. It'll look brand new because all the take home pages are all in every. And now they're going to have to, what are they going to do? I mean, that's terrible. No, just kidding. I agree. I think that's the way we have got to go is thinking about that. Boy, I'm really interested in hearing more about the, because I do think we've got to get more pre-check-in stuff and pre-registrations. And I don't know whether that system can do it, but I was having a discussion with one of the leaders the other day too, about the idea that we're going to have to almost do a pre-registration where there's classroom limits or size group limits. Yeah. And so it's going to tell people, hey, sorry, this service is full.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have to deal with some of those kind of things because some churches don't have rooms, you know, space to keep their groups small. You know,
everything I'm seeing is that churches need to start at like 25% occupancy, and the way that they control that and maintain that is to have registration of adults, not just kids. And so a lot of churches are using a ticketing system. Some churches have special Christmas programs, Christmas musicals, Christmas concerts, and they have done ticketing in the past, Christmas events. And so they're using that same system, whether it be iTickets or Eventbrite or Planning Center or CHMS. They're finding ways to register seats. And one of the things that I've been telling people, and I got this from a conversation I had with some other consultants this past week, we were sharing notes about things we're advising churches, and that is to undersell the service. So let's say you're a church of 400 and you want to have four services of 100 people. You're trying to stay at 25% capacity, and you have 400 seats in your auditorium, you want to keep it to 100 people, you need to open up 80 seats. Don't open up 100 tickets, because you're going to have people show up that haven't filled out a ticket.
Yeah.
They don't have a ticket. They're a guest, or they just refuse to do it, or they don't want to do it. And so you want to undersell everything. And then I mentioned this to somebody else on another podcast the other day, and they said, this is what we always did for our Christmas concerts. We always offered less tickets than were actually seats. And so if you want to keep it to 100 people in the room, or maybe your state guideline is 50, maybe they say you can have no more than 50 people gather at once, then I would open up 30, 35 tickets and try to keep it to right there. But yeah, you're going to have to use Eventbrite, iTickets, Planning Center. You're going to have to do something to let people reserve a seat. Now, it doesn't have to be like I'm sitting in J7 and J8. It's just getting them in the room. Yeah, you just know how many people to expect. But yes, this will be a big practice as we reopen. Not forever and always, but as we reopen, we're going to need to do some kind of ticketing system.
Yeah. So with the whole clean, safe, secure, we obviously, you know, we've got to get that right. Is there anything else that you can think of that as kids ministry leaders that we need to be thinking about or asking to make sure we get it right? Because there's some things I can think of that if we don't get it right, it's really going to hurt us. So could you give us some ideas of what we really have to get right as we reopen and why that's important?
I was looking at the CDC guidelines that haven't been released yet, but I got a sneak copy of healthy hygiene, and I'm looking at clean, sanitize, disinfect, frequently touch surfaces, playground equipment, door handles, sink handles, drinking fountains, all this stuff that it recommends. But you also have to look out for your workers. And so maybe you don't want to take the temperature of every kid that comes in. Maybe in your culture that would offend somebody, or a parent would get upset. But can you take the temperature of your workers? If you have volunteers that show up at 8:30 a.m. for a 9 a.m. service, can you say, how are you feeling? Do you have a fever? Do you mind if I take your temperature? We just want to protect all these kids that we're going to be entrusted with and make sure that we're all feeling well and we're taken care of. You want to make sure they sanitize and they disinfect and they use hand sanitizer and clean themselves. You want to have the room spotless. But from a creative standpoint, I would say what we have realized is the reason that this has taken off so well is because we are in the 21st century. It's 2020, and we are digital people. We live in an Instagram, YouTube, iPhone world. And so this just is, it's what we're native to. And for kids that are coming up in this, my kids are teenagers, but kids even younger than that would be in a children's ministry, they are digitally native. Mm-hmm. And so how do we incorporate creative ideas to capture their hearts and attention and minds in that 30 to hour time frame that we have with them? If we have them in class for an hour, how can we be as creative as possible, whether it be different illustrations, drama, puppets, video? What can we do to keep their attention and to keep them engaged? You know, one thing that adult leaders are talking about, Carrie Newhoff and Andy Stanley has been saying this for years, don't track attendance, track engagement. It's the same thing with kids ministry. How do we keep them engaged? How do we track engagement? And so let's take this pause. I did a webinar 2 weeks ago with a pastor in Lakeland, Florida, and we were talking about working on the ministry. There's this old saying for business owners, don't just work for your business, work on your business. And he said, in this great pause, let's not just work on the ministry or for the ministry, let's work on the ministry. And so let's have creative meetings like this via Zoom with our team and our staff and our volunteers. And let's think through, okay, when we get back together, how can we knock their socks off? How can we do this in a way that's fresh and relevant and innovative and creative? What can we do that, because they have been watching for 2 months now, and going forward, it could be 3, 4, 5 months before we gather back together. They've been watching a digital means online. So mm-hmm. when we get back in person, how do we keep that same morale and momentum? How do we keep that energy up? Oh, there's something I just thought of. It just slipped my mind that it'll come back to me later. It'll come back to me later. But because it was something that I was thinking of in another context that relates to this. But using all bits of creativity that we can would be wise right now to work on the ministry. And to take this time as leaders, I know what it was, it came back to me, take this time as leaders to check out your curriculum and to look at other curriculum and to say, you know, hey, what's New Song doing? What's Life Church doing? What's this church doing? And what's Lifeway doing? Let's look at all of the different curriculum and make a decision as a team. Do we want to go in a different direction? We have this pause right now. We have this time to work on the ministry. What I was thinking of is last night I was talking to my son. My son is 17 years old, very bright kid, amazing musician, phenomenal musician. He plays bass in our church band. And we have not met for 2 months. And I was talking to him and I said, have you heard from Chad? And he said, no, what's going on? I said, nothing. I'm just wondering if he'd reached out to you. Chad is our worship leader. And so there's only three people in the band. We go to a small church plant. And my son, Tommy, anybody, including the worship leader, would tell you, he's the most dedicated, most committed, never late, good attitude, always on time, great, great kid, great musician. The worship leader once told me he wishes he could clone Tommy and take him all over the place when he goes out singing at other places. But in this 2 months, his director, wow, the worship leader of the church, who he reports to and plays for, has not contacted him once. And that upset me. And I thought, so when it's time to gather together again and he wants you to play bass, he'll reach out to you and say, hey, we're meeting next week. See you at rehearsal. Mm-hmm. But in this whole 2 months, he hasn't reached out to you. So church leader, in this time, in this pause, all of you out there doing a graded kids ministry have tons of volunteers. You have multiple services.
Yes.
You have a 9 a.m. service and an 11 a.m. service. You have nursery workers and pre-K and first through third grade and fourth and fifth grade. Don't just stop talking to them. Mm-hmm. Don't pick up with them 2-3 months down the road and say, oh, hey guys, by the way, good to talk to you. We're meeting again next week, and go this whole time without touching base with your volunteer team. This is a time for pastoral care like never before. People are feeling confused and anxious and disconnected. And so church leader, church staff member, stay connected with your volunteers. Don't neglect pastoral ministry in this great pause.
What about things as we're reopening? This is a great conversation, by the way. I've got 2 pages of notes.
Me too.
Already. is there anything that we should be worried about, something that we need to avoid, whether that's a mindset as we're thinking about reopening, or something, actions that we need to avoid? What do you think about that?
Yeah, things I'm reading, and I read very wide. I read a lot of stuff, church and government and medical, but the things that I would keep in mind, 2 things. One, patience. Let's not rush back prematurely. And then 2, have a game plan for when we have to go through this again, because everything I'm reading is saying it's going to come back with a vengeance in the fall and the winter, and that there'll be a second round of coronavirus mixed with flu season, and then we may have to stop meeting again. And so even if you get to meet for June and July in these warm months in August, have a game plan in case this happens again in October and November and December. And so think about, 1, patience, let's not rush back. And then 2, what do we do if this happens again? And to be safe and to be cautious and to be wise. We are great stewards of these kids that have been entrusted to us. And kids are weak and vulnerable too. I've heard of cases of infants and children dying of COVID, of coronavirus. And so we have to be very cautious and very careful, and be good stewards of these precious children that are being entrusted to us and to our care and to our leadership. And that means let's have open dialogue and open conversation with the entire staff. This means children's pastor, children's director, you need to be having direct conversations with the lead pastor. And lead pastor, you need to be having direct conversations with the children's pastor saying, hey, are we ready? Can we pull this off? And if they're not ready, don't do it yet. Don't put them in a lose-lose situation. Lead pastor, do not put your children's ministry in a lose-lose situation. It will come back to haunt you. Remember the bad PR. It will come back to haunt you if you are the epicenter of a breakout or somebody gets tragically sick or even worse, dies. And so be wise, collaborate, work together as a team, have Zoom meetings just like this with your team where you can see your staff and say, guys, are we ready for this? Is there anything we're forgetting? Again, if you go to gregatkinson.com, my last blog post about questions to ask your congregation before you reopen, at the bottom of the blog post is link after link after link after link to all these articles out there, the best articles I've found of things to think through, things to check off, things to ask and to do before you reopen and when you reopen. And so I linked to every resource I could find of here's what you need to think through if you're going to do this. And so like you kind of alluded to earlier when we were talking, a lot of churches are starting with a family service, no kids ministry. Some churches are starting with a drive-in service, no opening the building. A lot of churches are starting with small groups and house churches. Mm-hmm. And let's have our small group of 8 people get together at my house and we'll just meet in our house and watch the service online. Think through what is your strategy for your unique situation and context. I'm not telling you what to do because I don't live where you live, but there are a lot of great articles on my blog and all over the web that you could read from people much wiser than me to think through, are we really, really, really ready to do this? Yeah. Because they are looking to you. We're the leadership of the church. They're looking to you to make the right, wise, cautious decision.
Mic drop. Right, Ron?
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't end at a better spot in my mind. Thank you, Greg. And we will put this his website in a link to it in the show notes so that you guys can go check that out. I definitely would be subscribing to his blog and feel free to check out his Facebook groups. We'll make sure we get the links to those in there as well. Tell us again the Facebook groups that you're leading.
My Facebook group is Weekend Worship and Guest Services. And so I think you can go to weekendworshipandguestservices.com or weekendworshipguest.services, weekendworshipandguest.services. I bought up a bunch of domains to deploy it to that group to make it easier to find. But if you just search Facebook, Weekend Worship and Guest Services, it's a closed group because we keep out spammers and people that don't need to be in there. But when you request to join, somebody will accept you in, one of the moderators.
Okay, great. Well, Greg, thanks so much. I definitely encourage our listeners to start following, especially with all this information, because we do need to do that. And we'll keep sharing stuff inside our Facebook group as well as we see those articles and get that information, because I think this helps. Again, the whole purpose of the Kid Ministry Collective is iron sharpening iron and helping each other and coming together, because we do believe the collective is stronger than just one of us. And thanks. Thank you so much for taking time out to meet with Ron and I and to have this conversation. You have dropped. I was writing and writing and writing. I could see Ron was doing the same thing. So
yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time, Greg. There's a lot of wisdom out of these last 30 minutes, 35 minutes that we've had. So I know there's going to be a lot of people that are blessed and encouraged because you spent the time with us. So thanks.
You're welcome. I'm honored. I was glad to be invited. I love what you're doing. I love keeping an eye on you guys. And thank you for making this possible.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much again for being on this episode. You have dropped a lot of great wisdom. And I know that people are going to jump over to your blog and get subscribed and all of that. And so we definitely want to make sure that you get people get connected with you. And Ron and I are available as well for churches that need help and encouragement. If you want to talk these things through, That's what KMC Coaching is all about, and we stand ready to help you. Ron, would you give your contact info and your blog as well so that people can check your stuff out and follow, or if they have some questions or need some help, they could contact you?
PastorRonBrooks.com is my little corner of the internet. And just like you, I'm also in the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group. So either one of those is a good place to connect with me.
And you can find me at ptbump.com or head over to kmccoach.net. Either one of those will take you to where if you and your church need some help, KMC Coaching is there to help your children's ministry, family ministry team start asking the right questions about these kind of things. And we'll partner with you during this time to help you if you need that as well. So you can also, again, check out our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group and join us there. And feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We would love to have you. We air new episodes every Monday talking about a variety of kid ministry, family ministry, and leadership topics. So thanks for listening and join us again for another edition of the KMC. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills and ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.